in Eden. You lie in our bed as if an orchard were over us. You are what's fallen from those fatal boughs. Where will we go when they send us away from here?
This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, May 17th, 2011. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the winner of the Ruth Lilly Prize. David Ferry's translations of Horace and Virgil are quite well known, but his own poetry is not so well known. This may change since the 87-year-old poet was awarded the 2011 Ruth Lilly Poetry Prize for Lifetime Achievement. The $100,000 prize, which is given out by the Poetry Foundation, was formally presented at a ceremony just last week in Chicago. We're going to hear David Ferry read a few of his poems, but the first thing I'd like to play for you is an excerpt from Christian Wyman's introduction to David Ferry from last week's ceremony. Now, I know introductions at poetry readings can be rough going, to say the least, but trust me, this one is not. Wyman is the editor of Poetry Magazine, and as he noted in his remarks, he has recently been reading thousands of poems published in poetry over the past century in preparation for a centennial anthology.
It has occurred to me during this time that one of the qualities essential to being good at reading poetry is also one of the qualities essential to being good at life. It's a capacity for surprise. It's easy to become so mired in our likes or dislikes that we can no longer quite recall that person inside of us who responded to poetry and to people without any preconceived notions of what we wanted a poem or a person to be. I mention this tonight for a couple of reasons. The first has to do with how David Ferry's work exists in the public consciousness, or in that small segment of the public that reads poetry, which is actually the country's unconsciousness, and actually more powerful for being that. Most people think of David primarily as a translator, partly because he turns his attention to big works like Horace's Odes, to Gilgamesh, and most recently he's now doing the Iliad, and partly because he's just so damn good at it. But nothing is more fluid or mercurial than literary reputation. People forget that, you know, until fairly late in his life, most people thought of Ezra Pound as a translator. One of the surprising things, then, for anyone who comes to David's poetry by way of the translations is that the poems are even better. Translations age because the idioms used to enliven them have no permanent connection with the soul of the work, which is rooted in the past. And so those idioms eventually, inevitably, come to seem inadequate. Poems, the best ones, have a permanence about them because they have some quality, and it's not always the same quality that survives atrophying idiom. David Ferry's poems have this quality, and I'll describe it in just a second. And I feel sure that in time, this pendulum between his work as a translator and his work as a poet is going to swing in the direction of the poetry, if in fact that's not already happening. The second surprise is simply the poems. We live in a time of obvious, even aggressive assertions of style and singularity. Among younger generations, the eccentric is prized, even the grotesque. I like very much some of the poetry that comes out of this impulse, though the sheer deluge of willed eccentricity can be a bit exhausting. In any event, David Ferry's poetry has nothing to do with this. In fact, sometimes his poetry sounds closer to the people that he's translated. Virgil and Horace, especially, are like poets who have been particularly important to him, notably Wordsworth. It's a bracing effect to have that classical impulse toward clarity and restraint fused with a much later imperative of inner urgency and emotional candor. These tensions between the old and the new, between the withheld and the revealed, between a kind of ancient sense of fatedness and a modern religious sense of redemption, all of this is at the heart of his poems. And I think it's what's going to keep them around for quite a long time. That and the fact that they can simply break your heart.
That was Christian Wyman, editor of Poetry Magazine, speaking last week in Chicago. Now that he's whet your appetite, let's listen to a few David Ferry poems. And first, I want to replay the poem you heard at the top of this program, just because it's such a sad and beautiful love poem, and I didn't want to just rush by you. It's called In Eden.
You lie in our bed as if an orchard were over us. You are what's fallen from those fatal boughs. Where will we go when they send us away from here?
It's curious to me that he says, away from here, at the end of the poem, instead of simply away. Away would have been more poetic, but the here brings us right back to the bed of the lovers and everything they will one day lose. So let's listen to a longer David Ferry poem. This one's called Courtesy, and it begins with a description of a beautiful late summer day.
It is an afternoon toward the end of August. Autumnal weather, cool, following on and riding in after the heat of summer into the empty afternoon shade and light. The shade full of light, without any thickness at all. You can see right through and right down into the depth of the light and shade of the afternoon. There isn't any weight of the summer pressing down. In the backyard of the house next door, there's a kid, maybe 11 or 12, and a young man, visitors at the house whom I don't know, the house in which the sound of some kind of party, perhaps even a wedding, is going on. Somehow you can tell from the tone of their voices that they don't know each other very well. Two guests at the party, one of them maybe a friend of the bride or groom, the other, the son or the younger brother, maybe, of somebody there. A couple of blocks away, the wash of traffic dimly sounds as if we were near the ocean. They're shooting baskets, amiably and mildly. The noise of the basketball, though startlingly louder than the voices of the two of them as they play, is peaceable as can be, something like meter. The earnest voice of the kid, girlish and manly, and the voice of the young man carefully playing the game of having a grown-up conversation with him. I can tell the young man is teaching the boy by example the easy way he dribbles the ball and passes it back with a single gesture of wrist to make it easy for the kid to be in sync. Giving and taking, perfectly understood.
That was David Ferry reading Courtesy. And after he finished reading, I noted to him that his poem was unusual, to me at least, because most poems are rooted in conflict. But this is a poem of gentle celebration.
For once, yeah. There was something for a moment, you know, just so pleasing about this mentoring that the older guy and the younger guy, and the fact that I wasn't seeing them, I was hearing all of it. And so the poem kind of rides along on that.
Do you remember when you wrote this and the circumstances behind it? Is this based on something quite literally out of your life?
Well, I remember, you know, it was while I still lived in Cambridge and next door to that house in which there was a basketball ring and a lot of events like this. And, of course, we knew and liked the people in the house, but we didn't know what was going on that day. And I think the title of the poem is about all kinds of courtesy. And maybe because it insists on that, it's also talking about the absence of the kind of pain that is in other experiences that one has and that's in other poems.
Let's listen to one of those other poems. This one is called Evening News, and it goes back to a time before cable TV and the internet, when every evening the country got its daily bulletin of war and human misery from the big three TV networks. When the poem begins, the speaker seems to be watching the news anchor with the volume muted, and he seems to be rather enjoying the gruesome spectacle, reminiscent both of ancient battles and of perhaps the war in Vietnam.
Evening News. The face looking into the room. behind it light, shaking, like heat lightning. The face calm and knowing, seeing but not seeing who I am. The mouth may be telling something. Something about our helplessness. Something about the confusions of beasts, the consequence of error, systems haywire or working, the stars gone all wrong in the body's courses. Out on the plain of Mars, brilliantly played under the lights, searched out beyond any answer, the game went on far into the night. The bloodiest came home from the battle seeking the prize. The women were disgraced, hair streaming, pleading into the staring, bye, bye. Was it the daughters I was seeing? The humiliation was pleasing, tears, laughter, smiles, all mingled together. The light swallowed itself, a balloon deflating. Somewhere in the darkness, a murmuring let itself go.
David Ferry is the winner of the 2011 Ruth Lilly Poetry Prize for Lifetime Achievement. You can find out more about him and read more of his poems on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Poetry Magazine will be publishing a portfolio of his poems in the July-August issue. Do let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.